The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1 with SuperValue Travel Insurance. Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance online at supervalue.ie.
The death of a spouse is a traumatic event for anybody. But when you and your partner have divorced, moved on, and maybe even remarried and had children with other people, well, the death of an ex-husband or a wife, while obviously upsetting, can also present you with a lot of questions. And that was the experience, anyway, of author Laurie Graham. Laurie, good morning to you. Welcome to the programme. I said that was the experience, and it's just a few weeks ago that you experienced a bereavement. It still is the experience? Are you still living it compared to, okay, maybe compared to the immediate week afterwards, maybe not, but...
Yeah, no. I mean, I've had time to pull back from, you know, take a longer view of things. And some interesting things have come out of it, particularly having written about it, a lot of people have come back to me, you know, with their own little stories. And it wasn't a thing I'd ever contemplated.
Okay, well, hold on. Let's take a look at your story then. It was the death of your former husband, and you were married for 20 years and been divorced for nearly 25 years.
Yes.
Okay, so you had children and grandchildren.
Yes, we did.
Okay, so was it a cordial relationship, can I call it that, after the breakup for the last 25?
It was eventually. And I think a lot of people reach that point. Certainly wasn't at, you know, around the time of the divorce, but... 25 years, that's a long time to make your peace. And we had, and although we lived in different countries, we had, you know, we'd talk on the telephone, usually about family matters.
Yeah.
And we'd meet up at family occasions.
And was it the kind of normal, if you like, Hollywood story of like young love, good times, bad times, all the rest of it?
It was exactly that. We were very young when we married, too young probably. And we had some great years together. And then we, you know, as you grow up, so to speak, you often grow apart. And that's what happened to us, sadly.
And when you grew apart, you decided a better thing to do would be to sever relationships in terms of a marriage.
Yes.
And then you afterwards fell for somebody else and both of you got married to somebody else.
Yes, eventually. You know, after about 5 years, each of us met someone else, yeah.
Right. So when he died, you had been apart for 25 years. And this is the point I'm trying to make here. How did that actually hit you?
It hit me... shockingly hard. And you know, since I've written about this recently, I've taken a bit of stick from some people who've said, well, you know, you were divorced from the man for 25 years. Mm. You're not really entitled to be grief-stricken. But we had a long history. I knew him for 44 years. And people said, but you became just friends. But I think the fact is, if you've been married to somebody and if you had children with them, you're always going to be more than just friends.
Yeah, and I mean, no matter what might have happened and no matter why you wanted a divorce, the word love still remains, I presume. So, like, are you grieving or would you have grieved in those weeks because of so many real years or because, you know, there's still a love there? So how dare anybody else question that?
Yeah, I think some regrets, you know, over the way things turned out. And, you know, my thoughts always go back to the young man I fell in love with and married, and I think of him still, you know, as that guy of 22. It's very hard for me just to get my head around the fact that he's gone.
Well, then, did you feel that you weren't able to mourn outwardly, that you were like a closet mourner, that you had no one to lean on, and that actually you might be better off living each day after his death as a rule of thumb of just what I've said?
Well, yes, it was. I was also very surprised at how unsure I was what I should do, what I could do. I'm happily remarried, and it seemed, you know, to be weeping, for instance, in front of my now husband didn't seem quite right. Though I'm sure he wouldn't have objected. You know, my whole place in all the things that go on around the time of somebody's death, you know, whether I should, ex-husband was in a hospice for a few days before he died.
And the first question is, should I visit him in the hospice, knowing that he's not well?
Yes.
Well, and what was the answer to that question?
Well, I very much wanted to visit him and, you know, just to thank him for the good years. And then I realised that, first of all, he was very, very weak and probably not going to survive more than a couple of days. So from that point of view, it seemed ill-advised to make the trip. But also that his new partner had very much made that sick room her territory. And I was not really sure of my place, you know.
And do you know and get on with the new partner?
I know her little,
right.
You know, family weddings, those kind of things.
Yeah.
And we've always been perfectly cordial. But I was very conscious of territory.
Okay, well then, okay, well, her territory, as you say, is the hospital. So to visit or not to visit is the first question. So I presume another question would be like, well, what role do I have, if any, in the sort of practicalities that come with somebody's death?
Yes, and my first thought, because I had always been the organiser in the family, was that I probably should have some hand in the funeral arrangements. I thought I might be asked to write a cheque as well, frankly. But as it turned out, my children, our children, who are now in their 40s and late 30s, of course, were perfectly capable of organising the funeral. I wasn't involved in any of it. And I suppose I felt a little bit pushed out. And then I thought, but this is the natural order of things. Someday, down the line, they'll have to organise my funeral. And they've now proved to me that, you know, they could make a very good job of it.
Did you ask the question to yourself, am I actually entitled to my grief? I mean, the grief was real, yes. So I'm not going to ask you, like, were you grieving? But did you actually have to question yourself?
Like, I did.
Do I have a right to be like somebody who is grieving to the point where I might want to do something about it?
I did. I thought, actually, the woman was, I thought, I'm being very sentimental here. This man at times drove me crazy. And so, you know, what is it I'm missing? But I think it was, you know, the speed of his illness, the fact he was only 66 years old, so, and I'd also confidently expected him to outlive me.
And did you ever say to yourself, look, for crying out loud, I closed my account with him 20, 30 years ago. Wake up, Laurie, what am I doing here?
Yeah, but what I do know for sure is the accounts never closed.
No.
Particularly.
Well, especially
if you had children.
Crying out loud, you know. Like, I mean, did you beat yourself over the head is what I'm saying.
Really, I did a bit. And I've come now to my senses.
Yeah.
Right,
okay. So the beating worked. No, okay.
It often does.
Okay, so his illness was sudden, but and you decided not to go to the hospital to visit him. You thought it probably would not be the better thing to do. But the whole unsure feeling of the thing, the feeling that many men and women must face all the time. I mean, this is a, like, there are some countries in which the divorce rate is the same as the marriage rate.
Right.
So everybody's coming across this.
Exactly. Families are so complicated nowadays.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes little stories come your way after you've written an article. And late last night, I heard on the jungle drums about a case, and this was something I had not thought of myself when I was writing my article. I heard of a gay man who died recently, and his partner of many, many years was excluded from the funeral arrangements by the deceased siblings, shall we say.
Yeah.
So this is another aspect,
absolutely,
another
yeah.
angle to it.
By the way, we are talking to Laurie Graham, 51551 is our text. The bit about being allowed to grieve that I mentioned there, that you had to question, is there also a question of being allowed to get it out that, like, maybe you were mad as hell in some ways? I mean, you do say it was a tough time sometimes with your husband. Like, you wanted to be allowed to do whatever it is your mind and body was telling you to do, but constantly suppression. For what, the kids?
No, in fact, you know, for the children, I'm able to express myself very freely, and that's been my salvation, I think. What I did find difficult was, you know, the hour after the funeral, you know, when you're having tea and sandwiches with people, and a lot of them were strangers to me, people who were new to me, but had known my ex-husband very well. And, you know, I was, of course, everyone's painting a very saintly picture. But my children and I were able to wink at each other.
Right. Yeah. Okay, but like, I presume, like, in trying to stay strong, were you collapsing inside? Like, because it hit you much harder than you thought it would, particularly with the speed of his death.
Yeah, what happened to me was I went down with shingles a couple of weeks later. I think my body was being fairly eloquent about about that.
If you hadn't remarried, you know, now that's another one, like, in terms of the way that families are so complicated now, you would now be a single mum with kids.
Yes, yeah.
So what kind of right? I mean, like, there's all sorts of new doors open. I mean, like, can I call it that it was possibly a good divorce that you had with your husband? And it was at least not an acrimonious one.
Yes.
And sometimes a good divorce is harder.
Yeah, yes, indeed. And, you know, there's a lot of what-ifs. But then I look at the kind of man he became, and I think he grew into what he really wanted to be, and he found a new partner, and so we weren't that suited, but our achievement was raising our children.
Sure. Okay, but then would it be fair to say that you don't know how you're supposed to be feeling, that there's a protocol and you suddenly have to realise, well, I better look up the book here. What is expected of me?
Completely. Where am I here? And then I what I realised was I my clear role was to support my children.
Mm.
No one else could do that. They'd lost their daddy and I was the mother and nobody could. That was my territory.
And do you think it might be more difficult? Now, I know you're not in the position of somebody who's only just divorced, but I think it might be more difficult for somebody who's just divorced than having the 25 years.
Oh, completely. Yeah. Because there's always some unfinished business there. And if it happens at a point where things are still bad between you.
And you will allow his memory to pop up in your mind every so often, and it will happen for the rest of your life. And there will be melancholic moments and deal with it. Is that it?
Yeah. Well, I feel sad that his life was cut short and that he didn't achieve anything like as much as he could have done.
Mm.
But I now have, and I see little resemblances to him, even in the grandchildren.
Yeah, of course. There's a few 51551 here. I've been separated from my wife for over 25 years and we are still friends. We both attend family events and I know I would be very sad if she passed away before me. We live each other in we love each other in some way, but are not in love, says Eddie. I was married for 30 years, then we split up 5 years later. 5 years later, I presume. Yeah, he died. I did feel just like that lady says. I did feel I wasn't entitled to be sad. Thankfully, my family and his family did not exclude me. It was outsiders who might have done that, says Anne. The family did not exclude you, did they?
The family did not exclude me.
Didn't exactly send you a guilty as invitation either.
When I was agonising over whether to go to the hospice, somebody did say to me, I think you probably shouldn't. And the little silly thought that flitted across my mind was, they don't want you there. Of course, it wasn't that at all. The man was too weak. And in fact, he died before my planned arrival anyway. So, you know, it's all immaterial.
Did the role that you had after his death fall into place quick enough, regardless of the feeling of grief, etc.? Did you realise, OK, this is what I have to do?
Yes, I think I did. And you know, I just needed to take a step back. And at the funeral, I was free of responsibilities.
Are you sorry that you never got a chance to say goodbye, or is that only part of it all?
Yeah, I am sorry. I would like, in fact, my son afterwards, he showed me a photograph he'd taken of his dad in the hospice a couple of days before he died, and that, you know, caused a pang because he looked like an old man, and he wasn't.
And one of the things I presume, I'm only guessing here, that might have fueled the grief in some ways is that you had lived your life like, say, that. Can everybody see me there just on a straight line kind of thing? But suddenly his death, if you like, made old memories return in such force that they made you have to sit down.
Completely. And one of the things, what elements was that I had to go back to our old stamping ground to attend his funeral.
Yes, yes.
So
yes.
It was one of those very poignant cab rides in from, you know, a station, all the, you know, the pub we used to go to, the streets we used to walk along.
Yeah.
And that was very strange.
You would have liked, I presume, help. Did you need help? Did you get help? Did you need to learn to be vulnerable?
I've just spent a couple of days staying with a friend who happens to be a bereavement counsellor. And she gave me a good talking to and said, you know, you rationalise everything, but you're really perfectly entitled to your sadness and you should just let it out a little.
Yeah, this has all happened pretty recently, so this is maybe a question a bit too soon, but do you believe that there is life on the other side of grief, that time heals all wounds, all that kind of stuff?
Yes, I think it changes. The nature of things change. And of course, you know, like most people of my age group, I've experienced the death of parents and I know that the feelings change very much with time and become, in the end, you can have affectionate memories and the heavy feeling of grief. It does pass, certainly.
Okay, so like I remember interviewing a rock guy on 2FM once. He said, yeah, I don't know where I am. Sometimes I feel like the lost sock on the laundromat of oblivion, which I thought was fantastic. But like, do you feel you don't fit in some ways anyway? Like what's that one? Like you feel like a jigsaw piece from another puzzle. Is that what it was for all those weeks? But now you're coming through somewhere?
Yes, and I felt it particularly at the wake.
Yeah.
You know, when people would say, and so how did you know, David?
Right, yeah, exactly.
Well, where to begin?
Where to begin, indeed, yeah. What a lovely woman. It is good to see the love that she has for her former husband and the mother of his children. Does she know how her ex-husband may have felt about her as his illness progressed? Asked Maureen.
Your last
communication was a phone call, I presume. You mentioned phone calls.
Yes, a few months ago, long before we realised he was sick. And I happened to be travelling through the city where he lived and we tried to arrange to meet up for a drink, and it didn't work out. And I'm sad that it didn't. I would have, yes, as things have happened.
My parents divorced 45 years ago, but never stopped loving each other. They just couldn't live with each other. Dad remarried, and he has terminal cancer at the moment. My poor mother is in living hell. I don't know how to help her. That comes in from Jay. It's ironic that you should have covered this subject. I'm separated from my husband for almost 4 years now. We've grown closer in that time. If anything were to happen to him, I don't know what I'd do. People would definitely criticise me. He's always been very special. We have two beautiful children together. That's from Anne. And another one here I want to mention. I was married for 10 years and without children. We separated and found new partners and remarried after a further 20 years following a fatal illness. My former wife died. I was overcome with grief at the funeral. I understand all the emotions and thoughts that your guest has. That comes in from Anthony. And one I just want to mention too, I can resonate with Laurie, but in my case, it was when my ex-husband's sister died. My ex-husband's sister, okay. And I was very much isolated by his new wife, etc. I've been very close to my ex's sister, but the unfelt grief gushed forward when I was in a bad car crash a few months later. I suffered post-traumatic stress and have got great support from a counsellor. So there's all sorts of stories. As you say, families have changed so much down through the
years.
And
I think it can get a bit tribal, especially, you know, if people have remarried.
Did you in any way get to know parts of his new life at the funeral that you never knew of? Now, I know you say, like, you know, at the wake and that everybody just points out the good bits and you're sitting there winking at your kids as if to say, look, he was great, but, you know, holy God, you know, I knew what he was like as well, you know, or whatever.
Yes.
But did you find out things of the last 20 years that you mightn't have got from those phone calls?
Oh, hilarious. Our son gave the eulogy and he mentioned the fact that my ex had created a beautiful garden with his new partner. This was... I can't tell you. He was a man who was allergic to everything. Never gardened, certainly on my watch.
Yeah,
right. So that was some aside to him. I was interested to learn.
The gardening later in life one. I've heard of that one. All right. Yeah. You just got to deal with it, Larry. So listen, just finally, advice. Would you give advice to anybody in terms of, like, going through, if you like, similar circumstances like yours?
I first of all, you're perfectly entitled to your grief and don't let anyone tell you otherwise. And then perhaps step back and count to 10 because there are a lot of people involved.
Are you back burning the midnight lamp writing books, are you? I said that. Please. Like, what are you, my publisher? All right, listen, Laurie, thank you very much, Laurie Graham,
Thanks,
for coming
Dave.
Into us on the programme this morning.